growing up in church, I learned a song. It went like this. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. And you might hear that and wonder, well, if you're not marching, riding, shooting, or flying, what are you doing then? How can you be on the Lord's army if you're not doing those things? It means you're in the Navy, right, Bob? But that's exactly what inspired this message this morning. See, it's easy for a small church like ours to feel like we're insignificant. You know, we don't see a lot of people coming through our doors. We don't have a lot of baptisms. We don't offer the latest and greatest in music and children's ministries. We might wonder, really, if we're much of a part of the body of Christ at all. Looking at other churches and ministries, we might feel that we are insignificant. And that would be a terrible mistake. We are very much a part of the Lord's army, or the body of Christ, or whatever imagery you want to use. Our role is not to grab headlines or even be noticed by many, but we are indispensable in the program of God for this generation. We may not be on the front lines, but we enable those who are on the front lines to do what they are called to do. Using that theme of being in the Lord's army, I would suggest we are part of the supply corps of the Lord's army. We enable those on the front lines to do what they are called to do. And without being regularly resupplied, the frontline troops cannot carry out their mission. An example of that is seen just a couple years ago when Russia initially invaded Ukraine. And they made some great headway initially, and then all of a sudden it came to a grinding halt. And the reason was their front lines weren't being supplied. They hadn't taken into consideration the logistics of getting supplies to those soldiers, and they had to fall back because they didn't have what they needed to fulfill the mission. This last week I was reminded of the final sermon that the pastor I grew up under delivered in my home church. He had been preaching there for 11 and a half years. He watched that church grow from about 75 when he started to over 350. The church had gone through massive building programs and really had established itself in that community. His last message was entitled, Hold On to the Rope. And he mentioned three times in Scripture where rope was an important component to the story. In Joshua chapter 2, you see the spies being let down by a rope from Rahab's house. In Acts chapter 9, after Saul of Tarsus had become a convert to Christ, the people there wanted to kill him, and they led him out of the city through a basket over the wall. And there were people letting him down, holding on to the rope. And then in Mark chapter 2, we read the story of the paralyzed man who was brought by four friends to see Jesus. And when they couldn't get through the crowds, they went up on the roof and made a hole in the roof and let him down before Jesus, where he was eventually healed. And in each of those situations, those people being lowered by the rope, their lives were in the hands of the people holding onto the rope. If any one of them had decided, well, I'm done, I'm not going to do this anymore, I've got something better to do, and let go of the rope, what would have happened? It would have been a disaster for those on the other end. And he encouraged our church to hold on to the rope because there's something very important on the other end. That's where we fit in. As a church, we're the ones holding on to the rope. Through our prayers, through our giving, through our involvement, we are enabling those who are out there on the front lines, whether it's here at home or far away around the world. We are a part of their ministry. We are helping them do what God has called them to do. To be honest, Moroa Christian Church is an anomaly. We're a small church in a small town that's still chugging along. We've had our ups and downs. Our history has seen church fights and splits. We've seen fluctuations in giving and attendance. I mean, you know, it wasn't all that long ago, and some of you know, there was a question whether this church was even going to be able to continue. But God is faithful. God stepped in and said, "Your time is not up yet as a church family. I still have an important role for you to play in my army." In the past 7 years, we have seen 21 new members added to our church family. We've had 12 baptisms. That may not be earth-shattering, but those are lives that have been changed. We have others who have come, and some who have come back to make this their church home. And this church is growing. We are thriving. There was a time when it was hard to, quite honestly, pay the bills. But through God's faithfulness and the generosity of God's people here, we're paying our bills. And we're doing more than that. We are supporting ministries here at home and around the world. We're part of that supply corps. And without us, the folks out there aren't going to be able to do what they're called to do. So in the words of our opening hymn, "To God be the glory, great things He has done." And today I want to celebrate God's faithfulness to and through Moroa Christian Church. And trust me, this is not the result of this pastor or any other human being. I say with Paul in Romans 15, verse 17, "Therefore I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me." And I say that for all that we talk about this morning. It's not about me, and it's not even really about us. It's about Him. To God be the glory, great things He has done. Great is His faithfulness. That's how it's happening. Yes, we have been blessed through our 160 plus years of existence, but that blessing is never meant to be kept for ourselves. Even as God told Abraham in Genesis 12, 2, "I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to others." The title of this message, "We Are Blessed to Be a Blessing." And that's what we have done. That's what I hope we continue to do. As God has blessed us, He will bless others through us when we allow Him to. As I mentioned earlier, we're part of that supply corps of the Lord's army. And I think there are three ways in which we support the work of the Lord here at home and around the world. We support by investment. We support by involvement. And we support by intercession. Let's take a look at each of those. First, we support by involvement. Those who minister to others need support themselves. I think sometimes we think that pastors and missionaries are kind of like superheroes. You know, they ought to be part of the next Marvel movie series or whatever. But they're humans just like us. And they need support. financially, emotionally, spiritually, in every way. Romans 10, verse 14 says, "How then can they call upon the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe on the one in whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them?" We often stop right there, but there's another phrase. "And how can they preach unless they are sent?" So you can have people that are gifted, called, they're all excited about the ministry God has called them to, but if they don't receive the support, they're never going to get there. And once they're there, if they don't continue to get the support, they're not going to stay there. It truly is a team effort. And we support by investment. Paul was very aware of this need. He wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 1, verse 4, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." In many translations, that's rendered fellowship, because it's the Greek word koinonia. We often translate that as fellowship. But let's face it, what do we think of as fellowship? Usually a potluck, right? Or at the very least, coffee and donuts. That's fellowship. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. And I really like how the NIV translates that as partnership. We partner with them so that they are enabled to do what they've been called to do. And in doing so, we become a part of their ministry. And as we saw in that call to worship this morning, one day we will also reap the rewards. It's not just the ones we directly impact by our lives, but even those we indirectly impact through our investment, we will share in that reward because we are partners with those in ministry. Later on in that same letter, Paul writes in chapter 4, beginning verse 15, "In the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need." Interesting thing about the city of Philippi, it was a Roman colony. There weren't enough Jews in Philippi to even have a synagogue. They were the least Jewish church of all the congregations that Paul planted as a missionary, and yet they were the ones who gave time and time again. They were partnering with him. They were investing in his ministry. And then that passage that was read for us earlier, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul's speaking to the Corinthian church at this point. And he's encouraging them, as they have already been giving, to continue to give. And he says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, not because someone's twisting your arm or putting you on a guilt trip, for God loves a cheerful giver." The word there in the Greek literally means hilarious. Think about that next time you're putting your offering in the plate. Am I doing this hilariously? Doesn't mean you have to break out in laughter. But that's the idea. That's the spirit. I am so happy to give to the Lord. Why? Because there are lives being changed. There are lives being saved, even through that simple act of giving to the Lord. He goes on to say, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever." Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply an increase, your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way. Now I know some TV preachers that would stop right there. God wants you to be wealthy and healthy and live it up. But Paul doesn't stop there, does he? You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is overflowing in many expressions of thanks. Where? To God. Again, to God be the glory. This isn't about how great we are. It's about how great God is. Because he is the one at work. He is the one working through us. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. And then he ends, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What is that? Well, it's obviously the gift of his son. What's the greatest gift ever given? It's the gift of Jesus, which means we can never outgive God. He has already given us more than we could ever pay back. But he has allowed us by his grace to be a part of what he is doing in the world. Isn't that exciting? Isn't it great to know that God Almighty, who has created everything, sovereign over the whole universe, wants to include us in his plan? That's what the scripture is saying. And these words have been fulfilled here at Moroa Christian Church. Some of you may not know this. Every quarter, every 3 months, we take the total offerings that have come into the church, and we take 10% of those, and we give to missions. And through that, we have supported ministries close to home, such as Little Galilee Camp, The Vault, New Life Pregnancy Center, Lincoln Christian University, the CAMA Fund, which helps the needy in our area. Some are overseas missions. For many, many years, this church supported Lynn and Dory Kazir as they ministered in Africa. Bob and Carol Marsh with Converge. Sam and Brittany Gill, who were just here a few weeks ago from Pakistan. Amy Cottle in Thailand. Jan Mills, who was worshiping with us just last week. He's going to be heading over to England. And God is doing some great work there. And he told me last week there he's 75% of raising his support so that he'll be able to go. God is at work, but he's at work through people in places like ours. These are frontline ministries that cannot survive without support. And we have also given to specific needs within our church and to people within our community. When they fall on hard times, our church has been able to step in and bless others through the same means by which God has blessed us. And so we support by investment. But again, to God be the glory. Great things he has done. Second, we support by involvement. You know, I don't have exact numbers as to how many volunteers our church has given in various places. I know we've had folks volunteer at the camp, with the pregnancy center, with the vault in different places. But again, that involvement. Remember that opening, the call to worship song? One guy says, you know, I was 8 years old and you taught my Sunday school class. It is because of you that I'm here today. You were there when a missionary came. And you gave, and it may not seem to have been a whole lot, but what you gave, Jesus took. And that's why I'm here. Don't you look forward to seeing people in heaven that are there because you were faithful? Because you invested in the kingdom? Because you were involved? And it doesn't mean you have to preach sermons or do things up in front of everybody. So much of the work is done behind the scenes. But that's invaluable. And it's making a difference in people's lives. Now, I realize some are limited by time or transportation to personally go to these places. You say, well, I really can't be involved. Yes, you can. God understands. But I do believe there is a way in which you all support the ministry of Moroa Christian Church, and that's just by showing up. I don't think enough is said about the ministry of showing up. Because when you're here, you encourage the others who are here. I mean, let's face it. We've all been to church on one of those Sundays when it seems like nobody comes, right? You got a dozen people filling a church that could seat 150. It's a little discouraging at times, isn't it? You know? You don't even want to sing because you're afraid somebody might hear you. There isn't a lot of other people to drown you out, right? But when you are here, you encourage others. And I'm a little bit ashamed to say this, but I've heard it enough that I believe it's true. I've had people tell me, you know, if there's a fuller house, you preach different. That's not a conscious thing. But it is encouraging to see that people are there. And conversely, it's discouraging when people aren't there. I'm really beginning to think there's a spiritual gift of showing up. It's not in the New Testament, but I believe it's there. And not enough is said for people who faithfully come and faithfully participate, because that keeps the doors open. So thank you. Thank you, those who come week in and week out, regularly. And you say, but I don't do anything, but I just come. But you're here. And that makes a difference. That can make the difference for somebody's life. In Hebrews chapter 10, there is an interesting passage of Scripture. Some have called it the salad bowl passage in the Bible, because in four verses, you see five commands that start with, let us. You'll get that later. Starts in chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Verse 25, usually a pastor's favorite verse. Let us not give up meeting together. It's encouraging folks come to church. Okay. Literally, that verse says, let us not stop churching. That's the word there, ekklesia. It's the verb form. Let's not stop assembling together, coming together. Why? People say, why do I have to go to church? Go to church every week. It's boring. I don't like it. Meh, meh, meh. Because God said so. That ought to be a good enough reason, right? I hear people all the time, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, you do if you want to be an obedient one. The Bible says to be here. And the fact that you're here makes a difference. It does. I'm more and more inclined to believe that the Holy Spirit uses many Christians to encourage the work of the church just by showing up. Others who have the time and the energy should find ways of being involved in our own church, in the ministries that we support, in our community. May not seem like much, but trust me, every little bit helps. We are blessed to be a blessing. You may be doing little more than holding on to the rope, but thank God somebody's holding on to the rope, because there's somebody on the other end and their life depends on it. So we support by our involvement. And then finally, we support by intercession or by our prayers. Several times Paul asked his readers to pray for him. You see it in 1 Thessalonians 5:25, "Brothers, pray for us." The author of Hebrews in Hebrews 13:18 just says, "Pray for us." I've heard countless pastors and missionaries and ministry leaders say, "As much as we appreciate your financial support, we really need your prayer support. Even if you can't give any money, please pray for us. That's even more important." You say, "Well, I don't know how to pray." That's all right. Paul gave some specific requests in his letters. In Romans 15, beginning in verse 30, he says, "I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy, and together we can be refreshed." What's he saying there? Pray for protection from the enemies of God's work. Trust me, they are targets of the enemy. And would they need our prayers for protection and provision? In Colossians 4, verse 2, Paul says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." Here he asks for prayer for the opportunity to spread the gospel. Pray not only for the ones speaking the word, but for the ones hearing the word. Pray the Holy Spirit will work in their hearts and their minds even before they hear the truth. I think of Little Galilee in that way. They're coming up next month. They're going to be starting 10 weeks of summer camp. They are praying for 2,000 young people to go through camp this summer. Pray for those kids even now, that God will be at work in their minds and in their hearts, so when they hear the good news about Jesus, they're receptive. Pray for the camp staff and the volunteers and the deans even now, so that when the time comes, they're ready to be used by God. That's something we can do. Pray for those missionaries overseas. "Well, I don't know what to pray." Write them. If you want an address, I'll give it to you. They love to hear from folks. And they especially love when they ask, "How can I pray for you?" That's a ministry in itself. In 2 Thessalonians 3, Paul combined these two thoughts. He says, "Finally, brothers, pray for us, that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we might be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith." I don't know if we have them now, but at one time we had some blank prayer calendars on the back table. If we need more, I'll get them out there. I highly recommend this. You can write down for each day of the month, maybe people in the church, maybe unsaved folks of your family or friends, missionaries, ministries, and every day. You don't have to pray for the whole list every day. You can just pray for one or two. Every day, pray for them. Maybe send them a note that says, "Hey, I'm praying for you. How can I pray for you?" And many times you'll get a response back saying, "Hey, I'm going through this particular struggle. I need this prayer." That means a lot. We can support by intercession. holding on to the rope. And really, it only costs a little bit of time, but it makes a big difference. I want to close with a prayer from Paul to his readers, found in 2 Thessalonians 1:11 and 12. He says, "With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by faith. We pray this so that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." What's he saying there? To God be the glory, great things he has done. And that's our testimony as Moroa Christian Church. Celebrating his faithfulness, he has blessed us to be a blessing. Think of that old hymn. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. They're out there. You may see them on an everyday basis, or they may be half a world away. But our responsibility is the same. Make me a blessing to someone today. It might be through your investment. It might be through your involvement. It might be through your intercession. You have been blessed to be a blessing. So let's bless somebody today. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we give you praise and glory for the great things you have done and continue to do through Moroa Christian Church. You have blessed us far beyond what we deserve. And the fact that we are here today is a testimony of your goodness and your grace. So we give you all the glory for the great things you have done. We thank you for the privilege of participating, for being a partner in your work. And may we continue to do so, that through our generosity, other lives will be changed, that many souls will come to you and be added to the family of God. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you will do. And in all things, we give you the honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. It's in his name we pray. Amen.